This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I am Babs Gray, and for the first time in quarantine, I have to say, Paul Dano collects teeth.
Oh, it feels like it's pre-quarantine. Hell yeah. I'm Brandy Posey, and I saw the best butts of my generation destroyed by scrolling. Go outside. Aww. Get offline.
I'm Tess Barker, and success doesn't happen overnight, unless you're a 2-inch chin hair.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Thank you for coming to the show. We're so excited for our guest today. She's so funny. Comedian, actress. You've seen her on SNL. She has a podcast called Best Friends with Nicole Byer. And she's in Amazing Things coming out. She's in the thriller Spree that just came out last week on Amazon and Woke, coming up on Hulu. Sashir Zameda, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. We were just talking about how you have all this amazing shit coming out and you just get to like fucking enjoy it. It's so weird though how long everything takes though, because it's
it's like years before something finally gets shot, and then it's another year before it finally gets edited, and then it finally comes out, and it's like, oh yeah, I did that. Yeah
It's funny, like, to do interviews for stuff and then they're like, what was it like on set? And I'm like, oh boy, what was it what was it like a year and a half ago? What were we doing? What were we laughing at? What was funny?
Yeah, you have to keep those like right, like one anecdote per set down, just to be like, and this is my little story about
your Lady Gaga. There could be 100 people in the room.
Yes. And then someone puts a compilation together of all the times I said that.
Yes, exactly. There should be like, they should just have like one person in the crew that is like a quirky camera guy or something, whose job is to give you that anecdote.
That's really funny. Then,
that's a great his whole idea. Job. Yeah, just like he comes
I
up.
I saw the way you held that cup. That's right. Late night material.
Yeah, exactly.
Conan would love that. Save that.
Tuck that one away.
I would like to have Conan just follow me around and tell me what part of my life he enjoys. I wouldn't mind.
I think the thing I miss most from like production things is crafty, because like just having like a selection of crackers that I wouldn't expect in my own home, you know.
Yeah, there was a time where I had so many Nature Valley granola bars, and I remember Mateo Lane would come over and be like, who would buy these? And I was like, well, I'm not buying them, but I do like them. He's like, no one likes these. They're just like, it's just like gravel.
Yeah, I mean, kudos to you for being able to get through those. Those are like really...
I think I would crumple them up and put them in my yogurt and stuff.
Okay.
So it's
perfect.
I'm basically just using the granola part of it, not the bar part of it.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah, because I assume those things are glued together with like actual super glue or something.
It's a rough snack. It's pretty rough.
It like makes you feel like you're working though, I think. You're like on set, your face is in the game, your mouth is in the game. It's pretty great.
Yeah, it's also great.
I'm a coal miner. I need this for sustenance.
I'm working class. Look at my teeth.
Well, and like it's also usually when you're on set, you're in something that like you can't get dirty. So those are such a funny like crafty snack, because like you just come back from lunch with like crumbs all over you.
Yeah, they're so crumbly.
I agree that there's really truly, I feel like no matter how far you get in this life, there's nothing better than surprise free food. Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Always.
And I'm always gonna take stuff home even if I don't want it.
Yeah.
I think that's like the, no matter how many like acting jobs we get, I think that's the comedian in us still. Yes. That is like the scrapper and the scavenger. Like,
absolutely.
I've been on sets with people that are like just actors. They never performed in bars and they don't even touch the crafty. And I'm like shoving things into a bag mm-hmm. to take home with me.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, we'll never be the same, will we? Okay.
I did At Midnight, and they have these huge tote bags as like a gift. And then they had like snacks and crafty in your room. And I was like, they're going to regret giving me such a big bag, because I took so much stuff. I had like mint tea for a year, because I like took all the tea out of my green room, other people's green room. I just like filled up the bag. I was like, okay, bye guys.
It's just part of your compensation is how I look at it.
Yeah.
I did get fired from an office job when I was younger because I did the opposite. I was working at like a boring office job and I stole all the stock stuff from the office kitchen for a short film that I was working on.
Whoa. That's funny. That's really funny. Oh,
damn, that's the way to do it.
Right? How do they confront you about that? They're like, you took all the instant oatmeal. You're fired.
Yeah, okay. I say I got fired for that, but really it was like several reasons. Like, I was way too young. It was like this really super corporate grown-up job, and I was only like 20. And it was like the first time I'd had a job where like you actually quote unquote didn't really have to be there. So I would just leave all the time and go hang out with my friends. My G-string was always showing. Like that was one reason that I got fired.
But I would think did you tell them it was for a short film, or did they think that you were stealing all the food for yourself?
I told them it was for a short film.
Oh, okay. Okay. Then they're like, clearly you don't care about being here. I was going to say, if they thought it was for you and they were like young 20s, they're probably like, oh, she's broke and she needs to eat. So...
Yeah,
let's just keep her here.
I should have played that card, but I feel like when you're younger, you kind of like entertain this delusion that your day job gives a shit that you're involved in the film industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't. Definitely.
They don't care. No, they'd rather you weren't.
I got fired from a clothing store job because I was like, I only work on the weekends because during the week I'm auditioning for commercials. And they're like, yeah, but you'll have to like cover for people every once in a while. I was like, nope. And I guess they thought I wasn't being serious. And there's truly only like 4 employees at the store. It was like a really small boutique. Mm-hmm. And people would get sick or like need to call out and be like, can you cover for me? And I'd be like, I'm so sorry. I have to wait for Hollywood to call me. And
I feel like that's not a bad attitude, though. Like, that attitude pays off in some way where it's I don't have time for this shit.
Eventually. It didn't then. Also, and then there were other reasons, of course. I was always late, and I was the one who had the key. So, like, no one can get into the store until I got there, which was always, like, 20 minutes after we opened. And then I fucked up the register so many times. And, I would mess things up over the weekend, and then Monday they had to clean up everything because I would, like, accidentally overcharge people or undercharge them because there was like discounts happening all the time, and then 2 different register systems at different locations, and I was like, I don't know how to do this. And I just kept messing up and had to call people and be like, I'm sorry, you didn't pay enough money, can you pay more money please?
Are you serious?
did that ever work?
They did, but they were so pissed. They did do it. They were like, okay, but like, what? This is not my fault. Why do I have to pay more money? And I'm like, I know, sorry.
That feels like a really great scam. Just calling people, being like, hey, your Starbucks was actually undercharged. Can you Venmo me the difference?
Yeah. Oops. Can you mail me a check? And then I'll take care of the rest.
Yeah. Exactly.
Have you guys ever worked a serving job where you lost a customer's credit card? Has that ever happened to anyone else?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God. There was a couple times.
That's gonna be so
scary. It happened to me twice when I was waitressing that, like, the thing, you know, fell out of the little jacket thing that you put it. There is, like, that kind of fear. I can only really compare it to, like, having a pet go missing or something. Like, it's just, like, your heart is racing. And you have, like, this 30-second window where at first they don't notice. And then the table starts to see you, like, frantically looking around the restaurant. And,
yeah.
And the one time, I never found it again. I had to go tell the table that I lost their credit card.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
That's impressive because, like, Tess and I are known for losing our debit cards, but I've never lost someone else's.
We did a tour one time where Barbara lost her credit card in Washington State, and then Tess lost hers in Oregon.
Oh, my gosh. Like,
we had multiple states with multiple debit cards missing.
That's very funny.
I will say that's been one bonus of quarantine is I've lost a lot less things. Not saying nothing,
you're home.
But less.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. I was at a restaurant, and and paid the bill. And then I got someone else's credit card back, but didn't notice it for days.
Oh, shit.
And like, was like living a life. And then eventually it wasn't working. And I was like, why is it not working? And I looked at the name and I was like, this is fully not my credit card. But they were both, they looked the same.
Right.
And, yeah. And it was Jason Ritter's.
No,
what? John Ritter's son.
No, he ran out of, how did he run out of money? Or I guess
I think he realized what happened before I did and probably canceled the card.
That's so funny.
Did you guys meet up? Had he been using your card?
No, we didn't meet up. I tried to like find him on Instagram. I was like, I don't know how to find this person. I tried to find him on Instagram. I found a Jason Ritter, but I don't know if that was him because there were no actual photos on there. Just like stop signs or something. I don't know. But I was like, maybe that's not him. So I didn't reach out. But
I feel like that would have been a good use of your manager or agents to be like, can you find Jason Ritter's reps and then let them know I have this? And then you guys make a movie about it together.
Meet cute. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fun meet cute. Absolutely. You have my card and do you want to get dinner about it?
Yeah. I like getting gas and going to Target too.
Yeah. Yeah. You've seen all the purchases. You're like, that's so crazy. I was going to get the same thing.
Wow. So much in common.
I was going to say, I haven't had like a reply guy on Twitter for a minute and not someone who's trying to like make your jokes better. Cause those are, you know, those are all the time, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
But this guy is just, I looked at who else he responds to and it's exclusively women with big boobs.
Okay.
So he's sick. Found me somehow. He obviously crossed over from Instagram, I think, because I don't think there's a lot of.
Well, you're on the big boob registry, so you know.
I probably honestly, if there's a wiki feet, there's for sure a
big
tit,
boob.
I was gonna say a tit feet, but I guess a wiki tit. But his name is Mr. Jackoff.
That's really crazy.
Oh, have you blocked this guy yet?
He's not been creepy enough for me to block him, but I just want to. tell you guys some of the stuff he said.
Have you asked him if there's a Mrs. Jackoff?
I think he's hoping that's Barbara.
Yeah. Just a Mr. Jackoff looking for my Mrs. Jackoff.
That's his goal. Well, he always says Miss. He calls me Miss Babs, which just feels...
M-S or M-I-S-S?
M-I-S-S.
Ms. You're a Ms.
What is that? Why does that feel so weird?
Because we don't use Miss anymore. Everyone uses Ms, right?
I don't think Mr. Jackoff could say anything that wouldn't feel weird.
Yeah,
that's true.
Just him saying anything to you is weird.
I
had a masturbation joke and he said, which you clearly don't do at all, winky face. Mm-hmm. BF is lucky to have you, Miss Babs. Mm-mm. Smiley heart face, heart. And then that drooling. I don't like that drooling emoji.
No,
I would have blocked him for that immediately. You kind of like it.
I think it's funny. I do. But then, so what he said to me is mild. I looked at his other responses and these are like, he's responding to people who are like posted, like porn people. So
yeah.
But he said, you can have my cream that comes out of my prickly dick, Miss Tony. He says Miss to everyone. Ew.
Well, at least he's polite.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
Thankfully, for
why is
that.
His dick prickly? What's going on?
Oh, that's a weird thing to call your dick.
Is he a cat? Because they have spiny dicks, right? Is
maybe
that a thing?
Maybe he has a hairy dick and he only shaves it like once every week.
Oh, yeah, that would be a prickly dick. Yeah, but it's just he calls every girl Miss, so now I don't even feel I'm not even special. I don't know.
So is
it's
it
just...
literally you and a bunch of porn stars?
Yes,
that's kind of cool.
The only people he responds to is me and people who are like posting, you know, OnlyFans photos or something.
Oh.
So I'm like, I don't know how he found me.
He likes you for your mind, Barbara.
Oh, that's sweet. Do you have long nails for a hand job, Miss Mandy? It's just weird.
Wow, Jesus. This is, it's like close to funny. Like I would like. It's like a hair off from being like, oh, this is a joke.
Yeah, but exactly.
It's not quite there.
Yeah.
That's like, when the you see a Twitter account or something that you think like, oh, like if this is on purpose, it's funny.
Right.
But if it's not, then it's not funny at all.
Yes. Then it's very sad.
Exactly.
I don't get the feeling that this is an ironic account.
I don't think so.
No, no, no. He's being serious. Like, no, he's real. I just want to know how he found me. I don't understand. Well,
perverts on the internet have unlimited resources, I think, to find boobs.
That's true.
Oh, maybe the joke you posted was about masturbating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe he just searched masturbating term in Twitter and yours popped up.
Yeah.
This was his most recent reply. He's been on it for a minute, but he's asking me where he can watch my material. So maybe he is.
Okay.
He might think you're a porn star.
But he's like material.
No, material.
I don't think he's porn material.
He's looking for
that's
jokes.
That's true.
I don't know. I'm just saying, Mr. Jackoff, you know, if you're out there.
Hey, Mr. Jackoff, patreon.com/ladytolady.
Yeah,
please give us money if you're going to keep creeping on Barbara. We'd like to at least benefit from it financially.
One time I actually like went back through my Twitter to clean it out because I was like, who knows what's going on there?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And the way I tweeted when I started tweeting was so boring. It was just like, went to the grocery store, saw a weird guy. It's like so nothing. They weren't jokes. It was like whatever. And there was one tweet that I deleted, but I remember tweeting it saying something about like waiting for my cup of noodles to cool off, so I'm just gonna masturbate to pass the time.
Yeah.
And then I saw someone the next day who saw a man who saw that tweet and brought it up like, whoa, what a crazy night you had. And I was like, oh, I don't like this. I don't want this to happen. Nope.
No, don't talk to me in person. Never talk to me in person about my tweets.
No, especially about like dirty jokes or dirty tweets. Like that's the number one thing. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
That sucks about doing dirty material is like, I think that's why I kind of like sometimes get anxiety about like mingling with the audience after a show. It's because I've had like a couple too many incidents where people like try to yes and your sex jokes. And it's like, I'm not on stage anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very weird.
The performance is over.
Yeah, this is to be said into the ether, not for a response.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But people don't get that. They don't know that there's like a, now I'm done working. Now, right. Now this is me. Not performing.
Especially with Twitter and stuff, because there is no line anymore. Yeah. So it's just like, this is for me to respond to. Yeah, that's a no thank you. No thank you on that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what we should be doing is we should be like tweeting and then post like a photo of us just staring in the middle distance to just be like, we're off now. This is off time.
That's who I am.
Yes.
Now,
separately.
Yeah.
I'm living a different life.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I was going to say, Sashir, you've been you're in Nicole's like roller skating gang. Is that what's going on?
Skate gang. Yeah.
Whoa, what's that?
I love it.
It's not really a gang, but we like to call it a gang, like as if we're going to knock over mailboxes and stuff and cause trouble in the town. But Nicole has been bullying me to get skates for months. And then I finally caved and was like, fine. I don't know why I was even resistant. Maybe I was just like, I'm an adult who doesn't roll around the street. And then I bought them and I was like, and now I'm just fully in. I love it so much. It's so fun. And it's a great way to like be outside and hang out with people and do it safely. Everyone has a mask on. We're trying to social distance and we've been going to a park and like Nicole just invited people she knew who had roller skates. And then those people invited people and people have bought skates and then like joined the group. And the last time we did it, it was like 30 people. Like, and we took over the basketball court.
I want to join because I've been roller skating too. I started roller skating. Yeah. Yeah.
Come. Yes. It's so fun. Everyone's welcome. And we like, you go to this specific park and the basketball courts are like off limits because of Corona. Like people have either taken the hoops down or like put a bar in the middle of the hoop so you can't like shoot an actual basket. So since no one's playing basketball, we just like skate on the court because it's like a really smooth surface.
Has this happened to you? Because the one thing that's kind of shaking my confidence is I've had a couple issues where I will, like, it really matters that the ground is level. Because if you miss like a crack, it's so easy to wipe out.
Yes, if there's like a dip in the asphalt or rocks, it's like, am I on a mountain? It changes everything. But thankfully, this is like a very smooth surface and no one's there, so we just take over.
Did you watch tutorials or anything when you first started, or did you just remember?
Yeah, I've been looking at a lot of like Instagram videos where it's like, here's quickly how to turn or like how to do this thing. So I could do like, I can shoot the duck.
You can?
Which is where, where you can like, you crouch down, you stick one leg out, and you grab it with your hand.
Whoa, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
How long did it take you to get that?
Not very long, but
really?
I like my core strength's really good. Not to brag.
Yeah,
I mean that's what have to be all it is. I feel like
I think that is it. I like I don't because it's not like I've done that before, but I just like I was like I think I can do this, and then I did it, and
man,
I did it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Me and my roommate have been watching Legendary on HBO all week, and like watching people do the duck walk, it like defies gravity, and then we'll just crouch down to be like, maybe we can figure this out. And then I'm like, I'm going to snap a knee.
I took a voguing class one time at like a dance studio, and it's so much thigh and knee work. And I was like, I don't think I can, I got to like work on my knees before I do this. I got to like strengthen my joints before I actually try to do this again, because it was so much work.
It's so impressive. Exactly. Have you guys ever taken a pole dancing class?
Yes.
That shit like is really rough on your inner thighs. Like, I don't know how girls that pole dance all the time don't just have like, they must have calluses on their inner thighs or something.
Not calluses. I've been pulling for like a year.
With
Nicole, because she forced me to do everything. And Nicole's going hardcore now. She has a pole in her backyard, and she's been just working on it during quarantine. I haven't pulled in months, so I don't, I need to like refresh myself when we go back to it. But it's more, let's see, pulling, it's like, it's a combination of your legs and your hands and arms. So it's like, rarely am I relying like just on my knees to clamp the pole, or just on my, well, actually knees shouldn't be clamping the poles, but your thighs.
Yeah.
Or just your arms. You can use like a combination of your weight to like throw yourself up there. But
yeah,
I mostly got calluses on my actual hands, on my inner knuckle bed.
That makes
what is
sense,
that called?
Because a lot of like dragging down on the pole and like
But I get bruises on my shins, and
that makes sense.
That's it, really. Oh, and bet- and the top of my foot.
Oh,
top of your foot.
That makes
because your feet would like squeeze the pole.
Oh, I see.
Like, the top of your foot, like, would squeeze.
No, like fat there. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no, truly nothing between the skin and the bone in there.
Yeah. Got
it. Yeah. So makes gratifying sense. To like get better at and just kind of feel improvement. Yeah,
that absolutely. Really, that was like, it's like tricky exercise because you're mostly trying to do a new trick or like trying to gain a new skill, but you're also exercising, and then and then you know how to do a thing. And it was like just the clearest example of like, whoa, look how much I've grown within these months. I wasn't able to do that at all. Now I can like climb up the pole or like go upside down or whatever. And also just like a reminder of like, I guess it doesn't take that long to learn a skill.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
I think we kind of have this like myth in our, I don't know if it's just our society, but that like that you stop learning when you're younger, that it's hard for older people to learn language or things like that. But it's really like, if you're just constantly cultivating that, I think you're constantly getting better at learning things, not just the thing you're learning, but like the process of learning something.
Yeah, totally. And
I mean, I guess it's time too. You just like don't have the time as much when you're older, but
yeah,
I do find it a lot harder to learn like stuff because I've been trying piano like 10 times a row, and every time I fall off, I have to like start over again.
Yeah.
I guess it just depends on the thing, but I'm excited though for the skate gang that like the, you know, the good things that have come out of this kind of situation like that, where I'm like, yeah, that's like a very positive, cool thing that I hope people can like carry on and enjoy together.
Absolutely. Yeah. I went to a drive-in for the first time ever. Spree premiered at a drive-in, and they are continuing to be at drive-ins wherever they are in your city. But I was like, that's fun that that probably wouldn't have happened if we weren't.
That's kind of scary because isn't it about like a driver killing people?
Yeah. So you're like in your car listening to this crazy movie and being I guess we'll just drive home.
A little terrifying.
Totally.
It's scary. We have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Barbie. Hey, welcome back to Lady, I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Sashir.
Yeah.
Woo.
And let's see, we've got a thing. We've got a thing.
You know, no big deal. Yeah, we're just going to play a little sleepover game with you. These are just silly, like, mid-90s quiz questions.
Great.
No, this one is quarantine partner question. 100 questions to bring you closer. We're not going to do all 100. But
no.
Why? These are, like, separated by name, which I don't understand. But okay. Anyway.
Okay, I have one. If your face had to be a Snapchat filter forever, which one would it be?
Ooh.
I guess Instagram, too.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay, because I was like, not on Snapchat, but I don't even know.
If you had to have a filter on your face forever, which filter would you go with?
I like that rainbow one where it looks like there's like a rainbow coming out of your window or something. It just happened to be in the perfect spot where it's shining on you.
Yeah, that one's pretty great.
That would be fun because, everyone's, you just kind of bringing a rainbow anywhere
it's
you
happy.
Go.
You can show that you're an ally. It's great.
Yes.
Yeah. I like
it. I would definitely do one of the cat eye ones just because I, for the life of me, cannot figure out how to do that shit.
It would be better. That's the alternative to tattooing your makeup on. It's just like the holographic filter next of
which we are going to have eventually, right? Like, you're just going to be able to see it in person, I'm assuming.
I think probably. So. Like, once we all get the chip installed in our brain, I'm sure there'll be like some kind of update for that.
Yeah, like an Apple Watch that would like project
it onto you. Yeah, just project it onto your face.
Yeah.
I think that'd be pretty fun.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if you're listening, Bill Gates, I don't know who.
There's a real stupid one that I like a lot called Jazz Man that puts a tiny little jazz hat on and then a tiny little saxophone in front of your face. So you talk, the saxophone just moves.
That's funny.
I don't know if I'd want it forever, but it would be pretty funny to have for a while.
It would that'd be like your happy. Dinosaur car, but for your face.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
That would make you pretty
happy.
I think
I would do my niece and I really like the black and white one where you have like a veil. Do you guys know the veil with the hat?
Oh, the film noir.
Yeah.
Very mysterious. Yeah.
That's good.
The makeup on that one's very good.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
next
makeup
question.
Is the thing to go for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Who walks in the room and you immediately smile?
I mean, if Beyonce walked into the room, I'd smile forever.
Yeah.
I'd lose my mind.
I think I would. I don't know if it would be a smile or more just of like a.
I'm almost certain I would cry. I'm pretty sure I would cry.
I think out of all of us, Brandy's the only person who's been in a room with Beyonce.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been in a room with Beyonce.
Yeah.
Hey. Hell yeah.
Was she on SNL when you were on it?
Her sister was Solange, and she came to support.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing. Awesome. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's super cool.
So you were even seeing humble Beyonce, which is even better.
Yeah. She's like, I'm just hanging out today. I'm not even working.
That was one of my favorite parts of Homecoming when her and Solange do that dance together.
Oh, yes. And they fell. It was, like, so cute.
Yes.
Yeah. I put on Homecoming the other day because I had some stuff to, like, mend. I was, like, sewing. And I was like, oh, I'll just, like, throw something on. To have in the background, and I don't know why I thought like Beyonce would be in the
passive
background.
Watching.
Yeah, of course I was like, well, this is now what I'm doing. I'm just gonna watch this for 2 hours and not do anything else.
Yeah,
nothing got mended. I just was like, well, yeah. I'm fully
just
invested.
Your soul. I mean,
yes.
Okay, this is kind of a big question. What small, seemingly insignificant decision had a massive impact on your life? That's kind of a lot to throw at someone. Yeah. I don't even know what the answer is.
Huh.
Maybe, well, in high school, I quit volleyball my senior year of high school. I did it from like sixth grade to high school and I quit because of the politics and since I had a semester open, I did my first musical and I feel like that's what made me want to perform and
nice.
Like,
oh, wow. Nice.
Actually concentrate my efforts in that direction. So yeah, I don't know but although quitting volleyball does feel like a big deal, but I guess I just thought, the choice
that
of
makes
doing
sense.
The musical
the
was like a win.
The trajectory of like, right. What musical was it?
Working.
I don't think I know that one.
I don't really remember it that well, but everyone like had a job. They'd be like, I'm the lawyer, I'm the doctor, I was a secretary.
I feel like I've heard of this show, but then I'm like, am I just thinking of 9 to 5?
Yeah. I mean, that one's also about working.
The original Office, the working.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay. I feel like, what you guys, do you guys have an answer for this question? I was gonna say, I guess I feel like I don't know. This wasn't like a decision, but the place that I sublet when I first moved to LA, I was here for a month. And then that roommate who was in that sublet had a roommate in the place I'm in now. Mm-hmm. And I moved to here and I've been here for, you know, like 11 years. So I feel like the decision, I guess, to come to LA when I did, to get that sublet, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
that's pretty good. The place where I've lived has been, yeah, a huge impact in my life. So I guess that would be.
I think maybe I had a, like, I, when I was a waitress at the Cat and Fiddle, like somehow at that job, I just met like a lot of people that ended up, maybe not even them directly, but through them, I met people that ended up being really important to me, like personally and professionally, in a way that I wouldn't think would have happened from a waitressing job. So maybe I would say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I think I had like a French horn scholarship in college, and the people in the band really wanted me to join like the frat. And I was like, cause it's like a co-ed. And I was like, absolutely not. You guys are playing like Monopoly and shit. That's not going to happen.
Wait, there was like a band frat?
Yeah. It was like just
that
for, like,
the
band.
That is the nerdiest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
You're already in a group. You're already.
Yeah.
Isn't band the frat? And...
Yeah. Oh, I was I'm just doing this cause it's paying for part of my college. And I said that I was going to go to one of their events, and then I ghosted it. And then they didn't talk to me that much at rehearsals after that anymore, which was great, I think. Cause the weird pressure of trying to be their friends didn't work. Mm-hmm. So I think ghosting a band fraternity Monopoly party.
I think everyone made good decisions.
Have to
guys.
Deal with people.
Mm. Yeah, maybe I'll have to deal with them. I was like, cool, you guys get that I'm non-comfortable. I like don't want to deal with it.
I right. love that you're like, it had such an impact on me not having to talk to these people.
Yeah.
Well, but like in college, it's like in college. So like that opened up, like, you know, I was like a film major. So just worked, focused way more on that. And then, you know, that was a gig that I did. And then I like left. So I didn't have to worry about like that weird friendship shit or anything like that. Cause coming from like high school marching band, like I think that's what it is. Cause like high school marching band, that is your friend group. So mm-hmm. I think when people went to college, they were like, no, well, we're just going to do the same thing here with the college band kids. And I was like, no, we have majors. Like, I want to meet the people there.
Yeah. It was your kind of like lesson in like, oh, I can move on past this part of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. By ghosting them. Yeah. That was mm-hmm. great. Yeah. I think that's a big one.
Okay, do you still have a French horn?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you still play it?
I pull it out like probably once a month just to like run scales and stuff to see if I can still do it. And I've still got my range. My tone is not very good, but I could get it back in like a month or two if I had like a thing to get good for. It's like one of my, I would love to get to a place where I can like be in a community orchestra again eventually.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like that would be 40s. Awesome.
Yeah. I miss playing. I do miss playing like with a group of people a lot because it's really fun. Like, I have a trumpet too, because that's a pretty easy transition with that. Like most brass instruments are relatively easy if you can do French horn.
Yeah, it's fun. I love it.
I'll never get rid of that thing. I've had it since, I mean, that was my, in high school, my parents were like, we can give you money towards like a car or we can give you money towards an instrument. And I was like, oh, my friends have cars. They'll pick me up. They like me.
Oh, wow. That's so
and
rare. I feel like
drive.
People would be like, give me a car.
Yeah.
Nah. Nah, I was like, I got a bike. Everyone's close enough. And I don't know. People will pick. I don't want it. People will drive me around if they need it.
Also, are those two things comparable? Is a French horn the same amount of money as a car?
I mean, not like that. Like a brand new one is like $2,500 or something like that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I got a little bit money towards it. And then I worked to like pay off the rest of it, basically. But yeah, I was like, I really wanted that really bad. Then it paid off. Then it paid for itself because I got a scholarship with it.
Yeah.
Wow. You can't get a scholarship with an old car.
No.
No, you can't.
No.
I'm planning I hope it works out, but I have like brothers who are way younger than me who are like teenagers. Mm-hmm. and I'm sure they don't listen to this, but I'm thinking about surprising them. And if the timing works out when they turn 16, letting them buy my car from me for like $20.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because I'm like, that's, I wish, awesome. I had had an older sibling who would have done something like that for me. And like, I feel like when you're a teenager, like there's nothing like having your own car.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, I think Barbara froze, or she's just overcome with
emotion. She looks really happy wherever she is.
Yeah, she did. I mean, it's like, yeah, great frame to freeze on.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a laughing action shot.
Yeah, exactly. Overwhelmed with the emotion of the story of Tess being the coolest big sister ever.
I love being a cool big sister. Okay, what are you kind of obsessed with these days?
Murder shows.
Yep. Have you watched I'll Be Gone in the Dark?
No.
I just finished it last night. It's awesome.
What network is that?
It's on HBO. That's the, it's
Michelle McNamara.
Michelle McNamara's the story of like the Golden State Killer and like her, the writing of the book and like the whole journey of that whole thing. It's really, ooh, it's beautiful.
That book was amazing.
The book is amazing. I also think like all creatives should watch that series because it really like gets into like how much she kind of like, unfortunately, like how she died and everything basically too. And like how, like what was going on with it. And it's really, I think it's a really, really important thing for people to watch to be able to like understand like their creative process, but also know like when to put yourself and your own health and stuff first.
Yeah.
Too.
That was my, I think the most compelling part about the book is just like it starts out just being about the Golden State Killer. And then it's really kind of like a, chilling because you hear her like through the book becoming obsessed to the point where she has to take sleeping pills to go to sleep and you know Patton is in bed asleep and her daughter's asleep and she's awake just obsessively researching this stuff and you see her just descend throughout
the ramp up of it. The series is amazing. The last two episodes especially are just like total tearjerkers but really like amazing. And they interview a lot of the survivors too, and it's just them like being like, he doesn't get this from us anymore, and they all get together now and like they just have like meetups basically just to like, it's really, it's very cool. Highly good. Recommend.
What murder shows are you watching this year?
Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh yeah,
classic.
Yep.
The reboot.
Yep
But also I watch a lot of old Forensic Files.
Loves Forensic Files.
Forensic Files is like the ocean. It's just comforting to listen to sometimes. Not for Tess, but
that's how I feel about like reality shows where people just go out to lunch.
Yeah. My favorite Forensic Files is there's one about this cop that I think he killed his wife and he tried to burn down his house, but he moved all of his bowling trophies out of the house before the house burned down. So
he
clearly
needs that.
Yeah, like clearly, so you did something, dude. Everything but your bowling trophies burned down in your house. Okay.
Yeah,
just an idiot. That kind of shit mm-hmm. I'm very into.
Yeah, anytime I am in a hotel, I'll put on Investigation Discovery and just like leave it on.
Yeah.
That's my jam.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder what's comforting about that. Do you think it's just the fact that like it gets solved at the end?
Maybe, because watching Unsolved Mysteries, I was unsettled because I was like, well, how does it end? And it doesn't because it's unsolved. And we just don't know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that part, that's the hard part.
Yeah. But some of them are like, because they're people are talking about them, some of them are being revisited, which is really good. Like there was one where a guy got murdered in some really like country town and no one understood like where, like the body was found, but like it must have been moved at some point in time. Mm-hmm. And also like racism was involved. It was like a whole thing, but they like opened the case back up and like exhumed the body to like, I guess, see if there's foul play or something like that. So that's a positive of these shows.
Yeah.
People get to talking and then they're like, well, actually, I think I know a clue or I figured something out. We all get to be detectives.
Yeah. I bet if we had reality TV and podcasts back when Jack the Ripper was happening, that shit would have been donezo.
Yeah. Totally.
Would've gotten it. That's awesome.
All right. Should we go to break while we look for Babs? We lost her.
Oh, yeah. She'll be back in like 1 second.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right, guys. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Thank you.
are back. I'm Tess.
I'm Babs.
I'm Brand. I'm Brandy.
And we're here with Sashir.
Hello.
And we are going to do a lady problem. Thank you guys for sending in your lady problems to us. We appreciate it. If you want to send us one, send it to ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com. And if you've sent one in the past, send us an update. It's always fun to hear if we've solved your problems.
Or made them worse. You can let us know.
We want to know. We need critiques on our advice. Let us know. In a nice way.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
All right. Dear ladies, I hear you need new lady problems. This one is very minor, but I thought this might be particularly relevant in these trying times. My husband and I live in a small one-bedroom apartment in LA. Sound travels everywhere. I just finished getting my master's degree, and I'm looking for work while my husband has been thankfully able to work from home since March. His desk is in the living room, and mine is in the bedroom, but our walls are paper thin, so we might as well be in the same room. Here's the problem. His job is really stressful, and working from home really slows down his usual workflow, so he is constantly frustrated and involuntarily talks to himself from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's a near constant stream of, give me a fucking break, man. I can't believe this shit. Are you fucking kidding me? Come on. And even though I know it's about his work and has nothing to do with me, it really stresses me out. It's harshing my just graduated, there are no jobs anyway, and I deserve to relax a little bit vibes. I don't necessarily feel guilty lounging around reading all day, but it's hard to really relax when there is a giant ball of stress 10 feet away from me at all times. In the beginning, I asked him to be quieter, but he doesn't seem to be aware of or able to control his outbursts. We have a dog, so I'm able to escape to walk him, and obviously one of my strategies is listening to a podcast to drown him out. But any other tips you have for increasing the tranquility / fun in my household during stay at home would be much appreciated. Thanks so much, Anna.
Oh, man. I get this. It's tough. You know what I do is when this is happening, I'll walk by while Sean's in a work call and I'll like flash him. And it like works like a charm every time.
Nice little pick me up.
Yeah, that's fun.
I just like the idea of this, of also like while she's listening to this podcast, him just being like, God damn it, come on. Yeah.
I wonder if there's any outdoor space she can go to. Like, if it's not their own, maybe just a park. Because if she's just reading and you could apply to jobs in the park or
in a
place that's not your home. Or maybe do you have a friend who like also needs like a couple hours of computer work time? Maybe you can go to their backyard and you two social distance hang while like being on your computers at the same time or something like that.
That's a good idea. Change the
location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good way to deal with the guilt of like, you're right, you do have every right to just be hanging out, but also if he's at this like stressful job, I could see how that would be annoying to him too, if like you're just having the most relaxing day of your life and he's up Schitt's Creek without a paddle. So yeah, go to Griffith Park, take a blanket there. I mean, there's so many like nice trails and like there's plenty of places in LA I think where you can like have a nice day, and it's so nice here all the time that like
may as well.
Yeah,
and I think maybe if there's a way for like you guys to like even go rent a place somewhere else for like a week or two, that way even if he's working the whole time, just like him having a different chain of scenery would go a long way too, as long as there's internet's good. Just like a different window to look out at to be screaming, God damn it, too.
Yeah. And, like, I'm sure his job, it sounds like it is like a pretty stressful job, but I wonder if it's worth inviting him to come with you to walk the dog sometimes. Like, because I think it's good, you know, it can be easy to like get in the zone work wise and feel like you absolutely can't leave your computer. But in fact, it's actually much more productive, I think, sometimes just to get some fresh air and walk around for a minute. So maybe that would help him chill out too. If he's going to like take breaks with you.
If he actually has like a proper lunch break, I don't know if you can when you're working from home, but if he's like, I can do 30 minutes or an hour.
Yeah.
Get a burrito and go to the park, or like eat outside or something. Get some fresh air, because I think it can get very stale if you just stay yes, indoors, definitely. Looking at your screen the whole time.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, I think men like are not very good at self-care. So just like reminding them, like, let's do things that will make you feel good right now.
Yeah. Hence the flashing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very caring.
Yeah, I think the suggestion of going over to a friend's place is really good, because I think like right now people are so in need of like friends and just like seeing each other because it's been so hard. And mm-hmm. there's I'm sure you know someone who has, yeah, like a porch or something where they have some outdoor space where you can see each other socially distant, but you know, maybe mm-hmm. yeah, do that, spend some time to either relax together or do that shit you don't have been wanting to get done for, you know, the past month, like, oh, let's do a get shit done party every week or something like yeah. that, where you can just kind of like let him have his like grumble fest by himself.
Yeah.
Or get some roller skates and just hit the streets.
Yes.
Absolutely.
He won't be able to catch up with you. Just wheel yeah, on out of there.
Yeah, get him some blades. You can get some roller skates.
His and hers. Yeah. I mean, I think you're approaching it well, that you're like not being hard on yourself about this time, because that doesn't help anything.
I was just going to say that. Good on you for like not being stressed and kind of just being like, well, this is the reality. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's super easy to feel guilty too. Like when your partner's working really, like it feels like you should also be working to the same extent. And I mean, I guess the upshot of that too is maybe that is good for you. Like maybe, yeah, you mm-hmm. do deserve to relax and just chill, but maybe there's some benefit to you of like, okay, if I'm going to stay home, I'm going to take care of some boring shit, or like, you know, he's, you know, maybe use that to motivate you to do anything that if you've been putting anything off or anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it sounds like you have headphones. Do you have
noise canceling, baby? You need the noise canceling.
Yeah. There have been times I'll just like walk around like with, like after I stop listening to the podcast, I'll just like leave them on sometimes, because it's just nice just to have that like completely silent cocoon, like, you know, audio cocoon anyway.
Well, you're wearing a cone.
Yeah, feels that way. I mean, I often in stores have headphones on and I'm not listening to anything at all, because I just like don't want to just signal that I don't want to be talking to anybody, or like don't bother me, or just takes the noise of the store down a lot too.
Yeah, it's so, like sunglasses for your ears.
Yeah. I do like now going to places having like a mask and sunglasses and headphones on. It's just like the most like don't talk to me possible.
Stay away from me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wonder what like maybe like seeing like what is he doing to like de-stress himself outside of, you know, the office. And that's not necessarily your responsibility to come up with that, but just to make your situation better just in general. Like what are the ways that he is like de-stressing himself when a work day is over? You know, just having him like looking and kind of working, figuring that out.
Yeah,
too.
I think so putting away the screens time and mm-hmm. making sure you guys have time together away from that stuff for like an hour after he's done with work or something like that could help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty strict about screen time with Sean and I. Like an hour before bed, like no phones. Like,
that's so good. I'm so bad at that. I'm just not.
Yeah.
We both like say goodnight and then we scroll on our phones.
No.
Yeah, I'm done with you. Now we're gonna see what the internet has to offer me.
Yeah.
What's
Mr. Exactly.
Jackoff got going on? But what do you think that does, Tess? Like what is it, how does it help, you know?
Helps with anxiety. Helps so much with anxiety. For me. I mean
yeah.
Because I mean, for me, my personal anxiety, it feels like this crazy montage of different shit to worry about. It's like Twitter in my brain. So like I just kind of have to turn that faucet off like an hour before bed. Mm-hmm. And then I end up reading instead, which is like does the opposite. It kind of just pulls me out and relaxes me and mm-hmm. just gets me ready for bed.
That's great.
Yeah, I like that. Plus it also probably helps with like being connected at night and stuff before you're falling asleep too, because you're not just like okay,
totally was,
yeah.
Yeah, because that's really, we're both workaholics too. So I also think that's another way to like draw a line, because otherwise we'd both just be on our computers until like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I just never know when I'm going to go to sleep. So it's hard for me to calculate an hour before. Like I'll be watching a movie and be like, well, I guess I'm done for the day. And
Yeah.
Anywhere from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m., I could fall asleep, and I just don't know when, when it's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tricky. I mean, I guess the only time I really stay up later than I think is, like, if we're binge watching something, and then it's like, oh, let's be bad and watch another episode.
Yeah.
But I'm also, like, such a grandma where, like, nothing puts me to sleep like every single TV show. Like,
right. It's like, oh, things are moving in front of me. Great. Time to go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I fall asleep to podcasts often.
You
That's
do?
Usually what I'm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a few that I'll just put on that I'm just like, all right, cool. I'll, like, set a timer for 15 minutes and I'm usually out.
That's yeah. Do you actually listen to them, or is it like a just a white noise thing?
No, I'm like listening to them, but that I like if like with my eyes closed, I think it's also because I have aphantasia, so my eyes closed, I'm not visualizing anything they're saying. So I have a thing called aphantasia where like my mind's eye is blind, so I don't like my memory doesn't work in visuals. Yeah, it's like a weird thing to explain, but like, so when I'm listening to a podcast, I'm just like listening to them talk about stuff, but I'm right. not like picturing what they're saying, so it's kind of just like, oh, okay, that's cool, that's it, cool information or whatever, and then I'm will kind of just fall asleep.
Oh wow,
pretty quickly. If it's voices I know too, then there's something like comforting about that as well.
That, so that seems usually
helps a lot. Yeah, yeah.
It's yeah. funny, I was like my boyfriend was watching a Netflix show and like doing work, and so, you know, it was just a background show, but I was like, it's so funny that like people have like toiled over making this show and we're just like, eh, like I just want to like have something on.
I don't really pay attention to it.
Yeah, like I'm imagining writing that script and just being like, oh, should this be an and or a or just like, and then like, oh. People like, they just don't give a shit.
That times 1,000. That's like all of us. I'm sure right now we are background noise for someone literally right now.
That is true.
Oh yeah. But absolutely. That's why, like, we don't try harder at the podcast, because we know that.
I think that's
like
about
washing,
like,
their clothes, whatever. They don't care.
It doesn't matter what they're saying. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that's so much about like writing articles, because like any article I've written, you know, I'm like, it's building to this big climax, and I, you know, everything's building up to this final paragraph, and does this graph go here or whatever? And
yeah.
I think the conversion rate on people who finish articles is like 10%.
Oh my God.
Oh wow.
So it's like, you know, you're obsessing over how to build it to this grand finish that literally no one ever gets to.
Yeah, people read the headline, the words that happen to be bigger than the other words, and like maybe a paragraph.
Yes.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, you could probably submit most stuff just via magnetic poetry, honestly.
Let us know how any of that works. And if anybody has additional thoughts on it, our Facebook group is where we pop off with all that stuff. So go to facebook.com/ladytoladypodcast and come say hey over there.
Yeah, and thanks for doing the show, Sashir.
Yes, thanks for having me. So fun.
Congrats on all your stuff coming out. Tell everybody where they can find you and find all your stuff.
Yes, I'm at The Sheer Truth on Instagram and Twitter. And please watch Spree. It's on video on demand. It's on iTunes, Amazon. Woke is coming out on Hulu September 9th. And a movie I shot a while ago called The Weeknd is on Amazon and iTunes now. That's new. And Best Friends Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Yay.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you. And Patreon folks will be over there for our top secret session. If you're curious about all that stuff, go to patreon.com/ladytolady. Oh, and also shout out to all the listeners who came out to our show last night. It was so much fun.
Yeah, that was so fun.
Yeah, total blast. It was really, really, really fun for you guys.
Yeah, it was amazing. So we'll probably do another one of those. We just had a great time seeing everybody and being able to do jokes, show you the resident hunk, all that stuff. It was great.
Yeah, our resident hunk read a poem about how he doesn't feel very hunky in quarantine, and you know, he's just the sweetest. We love Ryan Emmett so much.
He's a good man. So yeah, thank you to everybody for coming out to that, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker, for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review in iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.